It's almost impossible to read Parshas Toldos without exploring that scene. Or more precisely, the two scenes. The Vayakveni Zeh Pamayim, where Yaakov employs subterfuge, at least in the second instance, to strip the brachos from Esav. But there's also a wily maneuvering, a manipulation of Esav's hunger, and expecting or demanding the Bechor in return. The Medrash addresses this, and to be honest, if we really read it with honesty, I think some of the answers lie beyond our reach, but it's important to fill out the profile rather than having a simplistic or silhouette of Yaakov deceiving his brother. And the Medrash has a very interesting phrase about Yaakov Avinu. And it's a phrase that one could say is the first appearance of the phrase. I don't know all the Midrashim and whether it's been employed previously to Avraham or to Yitzchak in the past, but certainly the narrative suggests that this is the first time the phrase should really be employed. And it's a phrase that we apply very liberally, and we don't always stop to think what it means. And it's the phrase of Mesiras Nefesh. Mesiras Nefesh, in our jargon, sometimes is translated as devotion, dedication, perseverance, intensity. I think the term itself, Mesiras Nefesh, may connote that, to be so drawn or given to a certain task that you bring energy and dedication and almost to the exclusion of other pursuits. But I think that the term really means something a little bit deeper, and it's on display in Yaakov's decision as articulated by the Medrash. The Medrash poses the following question. Ma ra avinu Yaakov shenasan nafsho ala bechara. Nasan nafsho mesiras nefesh. And the Medrash explains, why did Yaakov take these actions? Why did he make this decision? Because prior to the Mishkan's inauguration, a Bechor wasn't just a title in the family which merited extra inheritance and deeper familial responsibilities. Bechors were Kohanim, and they represented the family in the Beis HaMikdash, or in the Korban site before there was a Mishkan. It's a very different way to process religion, through family, not just through institution. And Yaakov had witnessed Esav's brusqueness, his appetite for food, his rudeness and his lack of sophistication, his gluttony, perhaps some of the events that we don't read about in the actual text that Chazal fill in. So even before Esav disparages the Bechara, Yaakov has ample reason to worry about Esav assuming the title of Bechor. Amar, Yaakov says, Ye Rasha Zeh Omeid Umakriv. Will Esav actually be our representative and adulterate and prostitute the office of Bechora? Lefikach Nasan Nafsho Ala Bechora. Yaakov was Moser Nefesh to try to, as best as he could, acquire the Bechora. So again, the Medrash is trying to frame Yaakov's decision as one which wasn't selfish. Had it been selfish, then the subterfuge and the deceit and the manipulation would have been even more troubling. Being that he was concerned with larger ideals, so it recalibrates the question. I'm not saying it isn't a question, because means or ends justifying means is always dubious calculus. But it just rephrases the entire situation. Yaakov wasn't greedy, he wasn't ambitious. But I think what we're seeing here, Mesiras Nefesh, aside from the Medrash's target or interest in partially, not sanitizing, but validating Yaakov's decision, I think part of what we're seeing is the real definition of Mesiras Nefesh. Imagine a scale, an attitudinal scale. And very low on the scale is self-interest, people who don't care about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who who live a life of neglecting the Rabbono Shel Olam and his expectations, of self-interest, self-indulgence. A little bit higher on the scale of people that are able to read religion and Avodas Hashem into their own personal interests, that this is a lifestyle which is healthy for me and ennobles me and lends meaning and content to my life. But it's still not Avodas Hashem in the classic way, because you're not serving Hashem, you're serving yourself, and you see religion as a great tool for human prosperity, which is important, and maybe for many a primary foundation of religious identity. Maybe Hashem intends it that way, but there are other voices above that, and not to the exclusion of that, but I don't think that our climb to purity of intent can end there. And then there's something called Dveikus Bashem, where you're not just interested in how religion will affect you, but you want to be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's more important than how it will affect your life or enhance your life or advance your life. I would probably put Avodas Hashem into that same category. You're not just interested in Dveikus, but in maybe submitting your will to the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So not just Dveikus, which could suggest parity and bilateralism, but there's a hierarchy and a submission. But then there's a higher level. I think the Mesillas Yesharim touches upon this in the section of Chassidus, where the Tzad HaShaveh, the common denominator of all those previous descriptions of religious modality, is there's a you. And there's some interest for the you, and that interest is being peddled or being promoted, even if that interest of self is articulated in religious terminology. What about the annihilation of self for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where ultimately you care more about HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Shekhinah and His presence in this world than you care about yourself? That hasn't been captured in any of the previous 3-4 models which I described. There's always an interest in serving myself, hopefully not egotistical, but altruistic and religious. Serving myself, enhancing my life through Avodas Hashem, serving myself and creating a keshel with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, serving myself and being an Eved Hashem, but there's still me. There's a me in that equation. Perhaps the highest level is self-abnegation and self-abdication, where the you ceases to exist attitudinally because you're more concerned with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence in this world and a calculus that's much larger than you. You all inhabit this earth for a very, very minimal amount of time, but the larger narrative of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Shekhinah and the tragedy of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Shekhinah not being fully appreciated, that's more compelling to you than your own personal trajectory. Obviously, the most graphic example of this is someone who dies HaKadosh Hashem, where essentially, the you ceases to exist, but the you has been sacrificed on behalf of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence. So you're literally Moser Nefesh in the literal sense, HaKadosh Hashem. But Mesiras Nefesh doesn't only have to express itself in those dramatic, literally, the annihilation in the literal sense of self. It can also be attitudinally. What do you care about? And this is Yaakov's moment in Mesiras Nefesh. He had no interest in being the Bechor. But he had every interest in what would happen if the institution of Bechor would be polluted or contaminated by this person who he sensed was of moral debauchery and lacking any dignity that should be brought to this office. And therefore, even though Yaakov doesn't die al Kiddush Hashem, he's Moser Nefesh al Kiddush Hashem. It's not about him. And one could even claim, although this is already a sub-level in the matter, that this was a real sacrifice on Yaakov's part, because it was hard for him, and the equivocation is quite apparent in the next passage, where he just doesn't feel comfortable. He'll get caught. It's not just that he'll get caught or lay musheni avi. You can sense that Yaakov doesn't want. He's being dragged by his mother. So this is Mesiras Nefesh, that he's willing to sacrifice his moral code because it's not about him, and ultimately even morality is about you and how you'll live your life. And if you feel there's a larger equation, namely Kvod Hashem and Malchus Hashem and L'sakein Olam L'Malchus Shakai, and that requires intervention even in ways that are atypical or non-conventional. This is Yaakov being Moser Nefesh. He's sacrificing his moral conscience because ultimately it's not about him and his need to feel morally consistent or morally comfortable. And I imagine he suffers in the wake of this decision if the Medrash frames it as Mesiras Nefesh. So it's a whole different frequency of thought in which you're concerned with Hashem and the Shekhinah and Kavod Hashem in this world and people that get up to daven for Tikkun Chatzos on behalf of the Beis HaMikdash, not on behalf of Parnassah, not on behalf of Talmud Torah, not on behalf of their own religious growth, but on behalf of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to pray for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or for Hashem's Shekhinah in this world, his expression in this world. And I think that's a truer definition of Mesiras Nefesh. And of course, it reminds us that Mesiras Nefesh isn't contained or limited just to dying al Kiddush Hashem, but it's a question of ordination, what I ordinate in my mind. And the highest level, though it's very elusive, and I don't think it can exist without some of the other levels interlocking with it, but there has to be a certain part of us, even partially it's Moser Nefesh, that thinks about the issue beyond our lives and even beyond our personal relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but about being Moser Nefesh for something larger even than that.